All financial advice provided on this show is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The financial ideas and strategies discussed are only provided as a starting point for a conversation about money matters. With regard to your particular investments and financial strategies, consult your financial planner, CPA, or investment professional. All your financial decisions are yours and yours alone to make and subsequently are solely your responsibility. The information that is supplied through the context of the radio program and any repurposing of its content by the host or network is a combination and collection of solid financial investment understanding, opinion, and comments. This network, show, and its host are not liable for financial strategies, outcomes that you employ in any manner that result in any kind of loss. Shares of corporate sponsors may be the subject of buy or sell recommendations in Jay Taylor's newsletter in accordance with Jay's objective opinion.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. This hour will help investors fix issues and achieve personal gain. Now, here's your host, Jay Taylor.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I am your host, Jay Taylor. I'm talking to you from New York City. This is the 12th day of April, 2022. And I also want to thank each of you for listening to this show and making it one of the more popular shows in the Voice America Business Channel. We do also want to thank our sponsors for making the show economically viable. Today's sponsors are Irving Resources, Novo Resources, Eloro Resources, Timberline Resources, Lion One Metals, SK Mining, and a new sponsor, Rena Gold Corp, joins us today. I've titled today's show, Edging Towards a Gold Standard. Alistair McLeod, Quentin Henning, and Michael Oliver return as guests this week. Few Americans understand that the dollar became the world's currency because of an agreement between the Nixon administration and Saudi Arabia not long after Nixon detached gold from the dollar in 1971. He did that, and then after that followed up with a demand and an agreement made with OPEC, with Saudi Arabia and the OPEC nations, that all the oil that they sold, that the OPEC nations sold, would be paid for in dollars. And so it is not surprising that Americans have very little understanding of why Russia is demanding now that the life-sustaining oil and gas it sells to Europe must be paid in that country's currency, namely Russian rubles, or in gold. Because it suits the counterfeiting central banks of the West, Americans have been kept in the dark about why gold is money and why the dollar, not gold, is used for international trade. But as the world is in need of life-sustaining food and energy rather than military weaponry, those of us who live in the West may be about to learn some very hard lessons about economics, namely that Keynesian lies that we have been told for decades is sending the West into poverty, and that in the end it's not digital units of money that are created out of thin air that save us, but rather life-sustaining commodities. This ability to print endless quantities of dollars out of thin air has enabled Americans to live beyond its means since 1971, to consume and also to finance the greatest military in the world, the greatest military the world has ever seen, which has been used to bully our way into foreign lands and in many cases get involved in overthrowing foreign governments, some of which were elected. That may be nearing an end, along with a demise of the dollar as the world's reserve currency. Now that the U.S. has sanctioned Russia and has taken away its dollars and has disallowed it to use the SWIFT system for international trade and payments, on March 25th, Russia did exactly, again, what I said, Nixon and Kissinger did in the early 1970s. Putin's government is requiring unfriendly countries that need gas and oil to pay for it in Russian rubles. They may also pay for those energy products in gold, which was, of course, the option that was done away with by Nixon, by the Nixon administration in the early 1970s. The mandate from Russia hardly makes the news in America, but Alistair McLeod will be with me in the second half of today's show to explain why it represents what may well be a tectonic shock in the structure of the global monetary system. Alistair will explain why he thinks, in time, the winner of this financial battle will most likely be gold, meaning that gold priced in dollars and other fiat currencies is likely heading to much, much higher levels. That, of course, is good news for companies that are making major gold and silver discoveries like SK Mining, which seems to be on to a major VMS deposit, very much akin to the great SK Creek gold and silver mine located in the same belt of rocks as SK Mines project is located. And by the way, that SK Creek deposit was one of the richest in the history of Canada, richest gold and silver mines in the history of Canada. Well, Quentin Henning will be joining me right after our first commercial break in a few minutes from now to tell you why SK Mining appears to be on to a very, very, very large gold and silver discovery and why there is still loads of upside potential for the stock from its current price at just under $2 U.S. But right now, I'm really happy to tell you that Michael Oliver is with me once again. He is one of our highest in-demand speakers. We're always glad to have him with us because he has done such a fabulous job in helping us stay on track in the metals that we're most concerned about. Michael, thank you so much for joining me again.
Good to be back.
It's good to be back, and it's also good for me to tell people that it's olivermsa.com for them to sign up for your wonderful work. I don't know how I could do without it, actually, Michael, so I'm really glad that you could join us again to help our listeners understand a few of the basics that are needed to be understood in these shifting markets. It seems to me that gold has definitely broken out from its arm wrestling, I don't know, base building that we saw taking place over the past several months. Is that the way you see it?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, about 5-6 weeks ago, silver and the miners also agreed with what gold did in November, meaning said it's over, okay, meaning the corrective process. And sure enough, the miners, for example, suddenly grew a backbone almost immediately. If you look at a chart, for example, of GDX, just look at a daily, go back to December last year, it was trading in the 28 area, okay? And also look at the S&P at the same time, by the way. It was trading at 4,800. Okay, what's happened since? S&P has gone down, had a counter-trend rally, now it's failing, and GDX is over 40. Okay, from 28 to 40 in a matter of 3 months or so. That's a jolt, and that's good. What it says is, to us anyway, our interpretation of it, is not that the little people are buying gold miners, but big asset managers are, because they generally will not go in and buy gold futures and things of that sort or bullion. They'll buy especially the name miners and so forth. And so we've had this extreme upward jolt in the miners, and it says to us that, not only is the net trend of gold, silver, and the miners back to the upside, but the shift within the sector favoring the miners, which is something we wanted to see, it sort of validates the assumption of the upside again, is underway. And so, as we've said before, our preference is in the remainder of this bull market, which is paused for a year and a half, but it's still part of the bull market that started from the 2015 low, the best place to be is silver and the miners, not gold. Gold is the mama.
And so silver bullion, and do you think silver miners more than gold miners?
Silver miners, gold, basically blanket. I'm not going to pick out a specific stock. We do that in our gold-silver reports. We tend to try to ferret out the ones that are outperforming within the sector. And it's always true with any stock market sector, you know, whether you're talking technology or healthcare or whatever. There are certain stocks that are beating the sector, certain stocks within the sector that are underperforming. And so we, on a continual basis, try to ferret out the ones that are doing better than the sector. But basically, you need to own gold miners. And so maybe the easiest way is to look at the ETFs, GDX, GDXJ, SIL for the silver miners, or SILJ, the junior silvers, participate that way. But our technicals indicate, yes, the upside is resuming. Now, I'll add a couple numbers here for you. And these are strictly price-based numbers, which is not something we normally focus on, but once momentum engages, price usually will follow. If you look at a silver chart, we've got actually it's a momentum-based number. If you get up to about, we're now 2560 area, you get up and approach 27 again. Now, that last rally we had in March poked over 27, okay, and then pulled back. You go back up and even approach 27 again, I think silver's going to launch through the highs, which is to say the highs. There's a zone up there at $28 to $30 that was approached three times between the summer of 2020 and early 2021. So there's a flat ceiling up there. We think if you get back up and even approach 27, you're likely to jolt through and through those old highs. Now, for gold, it's sort of an idiot chart. Point and figure chart is the X and O charts that you've seen before. If you put it on a $50 by three-block reversal point and figure, you made a peak in 2020 at the price of 2050. Okay, you traded up to 2070, but we're talking $50 increments now, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then you proceeded to go into your year-and-a-half pullback, zigzags, up and down, so forth, but below that peak. You tag that 2050 level again in early March, okay, and they sold it there. You drop back three ticks to 1900,
mm-hmm.
$150 drop at least to get down to that.
Right.
But that was good. I liked that sell-off because what it did, it set up a double top at 2050. Now,
mm-hmm.
gold never peaked with double peaks, by the way. When it makes a high, it doesn't go back to it. So going back to the high was a hint. But now, if you ever go back there again to 2050, which is like 75 mm-hmm. bucks above today's high, you're at a triple top, and I'll almost guarantee you will not stop. That will be a triple top breakout. And
mm-hmm.
at that point, I think the gold investors who aren't in it to the percent they want to be, or other asset managers who are watching that market, will suddenly be forced to make their decision. And I think you could see a gusher at that point. If you go back to that 2050 level and you print a 2100, that's a triple top breakout. Gold should then go more vertical.
Wow.
Of course, the entire category should go more vertical. So those numbers aren't far overhead, and I'd be watching those. At the same time, watch the S&P, because it is
mm-hmm.
now in inverse relationship to gold in the sector.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, if you look at gold's top closing day of that March rally was March the 8th. Look at S&P, its low close of the pullback into March was March the 8th. Total opposites. Now what,
mm-hmm.
what's going on? Gold had a pullback from that high. S&P had a rally from that low. Now
mm-hmm.
S&P's rolling over hard again, and gold's rallying back up hard again.
Mm-hmm.
So don't look at the stock market and be fearful. Cheer its downticks, because that's what's going to spook the Fed
mm-hmm.
and the ECB and the BOJ back into, at some point probably within the next year, back into the norms of their behavior,
mm-hmm.
which is to say monetary excess, keep rates lower than reality. They have no other choice. Because if the stock market begins into a bear market, where people perceive it as such, also watch the muni bonds and the high-yield corporate debt market. They are imploding. And the Fed is definitely going to be aware of this. And those markets, as they drop, will cause, a month or two or three later, the economic metric numbers that the Fed says we're data watchers, right? We're data
mm-hmm.
sensitive, okay? Well, they're
yeah.
going to get the kind of data they don't want to see, which will be totally opposite to their, quote, tightening policy. So it's going to be a very interesting popcorn time to watch what the Fed's going to do when they go from extreme liquidity to extreme tightness to what? They have to defend those assets.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be fun to watch them get a whiplash.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Michael, do you think that with regard to the long-dated treasuries, have they broken down now? Or
yes,
do you
yes,
think technically
yes, yes.
that we're going to see much higher yes. interest rates, long-dated
rates?
See
much higher rates. However, I caution people, the status of that market, like 10-year notes, 30-year bonds, TLT, the ETF that's quite popular, long-term U.S. government debt, as well as the bunds overseas and the JGBs, Japanese government bonds, they're all annual momentum negative now, meaning you've
uh-huh.
begun a major bear trend. Yields are going up. But on an intermediate basis, I could see them making a low sometime in the next month or so, this month or next, and perhaps stalling for a while. Or even
uh-huh.
generating a counter-trend rally of some mm-hmm. minor dimension.
Mm-hmm.
They've broken too much stuff to turn up in a sincere way, but they could have a pause.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I don't urge people to be getting short T-bonds here.
Mm-hmm.
They're a
okay.
good metric, you know, but they're
mm-hmm.
not. It's not a good time to be getting short.
Yeah, not to mention likely yield control. I wouldn't be surprised. There's some monkeying around in the markets by the powers
mm-hmm.
that be also
mm-hmm.
to try to suppress rates. What else do we expect from people that don't really believe in capitalism, that claim to run a capitalist country? Anyway, we'll have to leave it go at that, Michael. Thank you so much for your insights. These are really important things you're telling us. So I want to thank you very much for spending the time with us. All right, folks. Well, we do have to go to break now, but don't go away. Quentin Henning will be with us. Talk about SK Mining, which is on to a VMS discovery, a gold-silver discovery. Looks very major, I think very important for you to stick around and hear what Quentin has to say about the plans to explore and develop that project in the summer of 2022. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Quentin Henning.
Lion Wine Metals is focused on high-grade gold in Fiji, led by legendary Canadian financier Walter Barakoff. Lion One is permitted for production and drilling for discoveries in one of the most exciting high-grade gold projects in the prolific South Pacific Ring of Fire. Lion One trades on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol LIO and on the OTCQX under the symbol LOMLF. Go to our website at liononemetals.com for more information about Lion One Metals and high-grade gold in Fiji.
SK Mining Corp, trading under the symbol ESK on the TSX Venture and ESKYF on the OTCQX, is a mineral exploration company targeting precious metals, rich VMS deposits in the heart of British Columbia's Golden Triangle. SK Mining controls a prospective land package totaling 130,000 acres, which lies across a geologic trend that once hosted the prolific SK Creek Mine. With a world-renowned geological team, funding in place, and shareholders such as Eric Sprott, SK Mining is on the cusp of a world-class discovery. Go to skmining.com to subscribe for updates.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.